Welcome to Through the Word. My name is Peyton Jones, and I'll be your guide through Paul's first letter to Timothy. As someone who's been in ministry from a young age, like Timothy, his letter has been a lifesaver at times when I didn't know what to do or lacked wisdom for handling a specific situation. And maybe you felt the same. There's been a hard situation at work or even church, and you've not really known how to deal with it. People problems are always tough. And Timothy had his share of people problems. The letter was written to Timothy, a young man that the Apostle Paul led to Jesus and then discipled personally. They were tight. Paul calls him my true son in the faith. And he was more than just a mentor to Timothy. He was like his dad. Having been raised by his Jewish mom and grandmother, who both turned to Jesus, when Paul swept into this town all those years ago, he became like the father Timothy never had. And 1 Timothy reads like a letter from a dad with all its fatherly advice to young Timothy, who's been left behind at Ephesus to sort out those people problems. Wait, Ephesus? This isn't the book of Ephesians. How did we suddenly get in Ephesus? Well, that's where Timothy lived when he received Paul's letter. Timothy first set foot into this sprawling metropolis and harbor town during Paul's third missionary journey. And they spent 3 years here together. What adventures they'd had here. Paul was in prison after a riot started over his preaching. And there was the night everyone brought out their witchcraft scrolls and idols and books and burned them as they switched to faith in Jesus. And then Paul started renting out the Hall of Tyrannus so that souls were saved, planters were trained, and the seven churches of Asia were planted. But there's one painful memory that washes over Timothy as he reads Paul's opening in verse 3 of chapter 1. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. Timothy is reminded why he was left behind, to confront the false teachers wrecking God's house. Command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. Paul warned it was going to happen. It was the day he left, and Timothy's mind flashes back to that day when Paul boarded a boat and gathered all of the Ephesian leaders together, the wind whipping in their faces. Paul had been crying, and Timothy was glad for the wind that dried up his tears. Paul's voice raised over the gales blowing off the sea. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. Those words recorded in Acts chapter 20 still echo in Timothy's mind. After I leave, savage wolves, even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. That day had finally come to Ephesus. The wolves were here, but so was this letter. And with them, the same sadness and fear hit Timothy that he had on the docks, and a few crippling thoughts. Paul is gone. I'm all alone. And I'm not ready to fight these wolves. I relate to Timothy here. As someone who pastored a megachurch at the age of 22, it was a massive responsibility for a young man who wasn't even married yet. But I've also been on Paul's side of things, where I've planted frontline churches and handed them off to people who, like Timothy, didn't feel ready. People who felt the same insecurities Timothy did. Those same insecurities that I myself had when I was young. Paul addresses Timothy's security about being young in chapter 4. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Like a Jedi, Timothy couldn't just give in to the dark side with these false teachers and act like them. He had to deal with his people problems in a way that was worthy of Jesus. Maybe that's why this reminds me of Star Wars. Paul, like Obi-Wan, is not the one to confront these false teachers. Timothy is. Paul had trained Timothy up like Luke Skywalker to confront the dark powers in Ephesus to give the Ephesians one last hope. Paul's letter appears at just the right time for Timothy, like a blue force ghost giving young Skywalker Jedi advice. And talk about dark forces. Listen to how Paul describes the false teachers and the people problems they bring. I've collected them from the book for you, and there's quite a few, so just listen for a bit to these descriptions that I've compiled to see what Timothy was up against. They were people who have swerved from a pure heart, good conscience, and sincere faith, and who don't know what they're talking about. They were shipwrecked in their faith, blasphemers, disgraced, trapped by the snare of the devil, following deceitful spirits, hypocritical liars with seared consciences, dead while they live, worse than an unbeliever, busybodies who talk nonsense, conceited yet understanding nothing, people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and think godliness is a means to financial gain, eager for money. They've wandered from the faith. It's easy to see that Paul's not pulling any punches. If you think that's bad, listen to what Paul says about their teaching. Their teachings are godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction. Meaningless talk, godless myths, old wives' tales and endless genealogies. Teachings of demons contrary to sound doctrine. Whoa, them's fighting words, Paul. In other words, they were talking a ton of smack. The only way to shut them up was to take them out. Of the church, I mean. Timothy wasn't a contract killer. He was a servant of God. And Paul even calls out two of these men by name, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom Paul says, I handed them over to Satan to teach them not to blaspheme. Paul had kicked them out before, but now they were back in business and up to their old tricks again. Timothy finds himself wishing that Paul was back instead of them. And the false teachers in the church, like these two, were making the church look bad to everyone in Ephesus. And when bad servants make the church look bad, it makes God look bad. The church was becoming like that one house on the street where all the drama happens. The yelling, the fighting, the breaking windows. You know that house that earns a bad reputation on the block? Because of the bad examples of the false teachers, the believers in Ephesus didn't know how to behave in church. So Paul tells him in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Paul was coming back to Ephesus, but it was hard to say when. You never knew with Paul. He could be imprisoned or detoured by the Holy Spirit or delayed by something else. So Timothy needed to let his life be an example of how to behave in God's household, and also get rid of those false teachers who were giving God's children a bad example. Timothy needed to get the bad servants out, but he also needed to put faithful servants in. Those servants forgot that they were servants, not masters. They had stopped running the master's house in the way that the master wanted, and they started running it like they owned the place. Timothy would have to be a good and faithful servant to know his place and find other people like himself. That's why Paul keeps using the word trustworthy. It's one of the most used words in this book. And there are three ways that Paul talks about trustworthiness in 1 Timothy. First, he talks about the unfaithfulness or untrustworthiness of the bad servants in charge at Ephesus. Second, he describes what a faithful servant looks like. And third, he tells Timothy what he needs to do to be the model of trustworthiness to the Ephesians so they can learn how to behave in church. Well, that should give us enough of a setup to relate to where Timothy was at. But I look forward to digging into this book with you as we journey together through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.